Yes,
He does. The Lord does. He watches over His words to perform them. He hears the words of our mouths when we worship, when we praise. He hears us. God hears us. Sometimes it's mind-boggling if you think about the fact that He hears us and hears every single person and understands exactly every word that we say. You know, I don't remember so much when my hearing was perfect, if I heard everything anyway. But I do recognize now that if there's a lot of conversation, I don't necessarily hear any conversation. Unless it's particular tones, I hear some people talk so clearly, and other people I don't hear talk so clearly. And I don't think it's a difference in the way they talk, but I think it's a difference in their tone. And I want to be tuned into God's tone. I want to hear Him, and I'm thankful that God's tone reverberates from the inside. And so we hear, and I want to remember everything He says, and I don't. That torments me sometimes. He's been giving me, Vicki talked about words, He's been giving me words. And He gives me a word, and then I write about the word. And the other day I started to read the Bible, and God gave me the word for that day, and I... No problem. I went ahead and did my devotions. I couldn't remember the word. So I was talking to the Lord about, you know, I really kind of need that again. Like, He should just tell me all over again. But it kept me thinking about that. And you know what I discovered when I was trying to think of that word that He was giving me? He talked to me about a lot of other things. He wasn't necessarily skirting the issue, but He was talking to me. You know, and that was good, but I was still kind of wanting that word because I felt like I'd lost something if I didn't have that word. And a little later then, we found it again. I found it. He didn't find it, but we found it. And it was good, and Lord, Your words are good, and they're wonderful. And the truth is the truth. And the truth is simple. God's not a God of confusion. And so almost everything that He said was pretty clear. And when the disciples wondered why He spoke in parables, He said, well, because it's given to you to understand. So if it's given to us to understand, we can understand. And I believe with all my heart that we understand things that we don't understand until we understand them. But we can trust Him. You know, Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. You are with me. You know, we can store that in our minds and say, okay, I'm not there now, but when I go there, You'll be with me. We can be sure, because that's a promise for the very worst scenario of life, death, until death is swallowed up in victory in our lives. But we're sure that He's with us. I've been with people that were confident that He was with them, and they were confident that He was with them. I've been with people who weren't sure that He was with them. Even though the truth was he was with them. Even though their faith was not grasping the fullness of the fact that He was with them, because they believed He was with them. They just hadn't spent the time to let it work out its fullness in their lives. But God's faithful to give assurance when we're faithful to share assurance. And there are things, you know, I was moving some snow yesterday, and this little skid loader, it has a handle that talks about locking and unlocking the arm, whatever. And it's right there behind me, but I never could figure out what they were talking about locking. And it didn't seem to me that it was any different in either position, and the position that I got it in was kind of in between the two, but it was just sitting there. And so I never had a need to wonder what that was for, and I kind of wanted to get a manual so I could see, what is that for exactly? You know? Well, so yesterday I'm moving it along. I got the arm up. I go to put the arm down. The arm won't come down. Bucket will move, so the hydraulics are good, but it won't come down. Well, then I look, and on one side, I see that it's stuck on something sticking out of the side of the frame. And I thought, this is a fine how do you do. I guess I need to figure out a way to get out of here so that I can go back and push that thing in. But then it occurred to me that there was this little handle that said lock and unlock. Now, something shook that thing loose. And so, two little arms out. When the little arms are out, the big arms won't come down. Just little stinking pieces of metal. But when I pulled that up, one came in. The other one that had been clear out couldn't get back in because it was stuck on it. But the wisdom of the Lord was to raise the bucket a little bit further, and sure enough, it snapped those back where they belong. I know what that thing is for now. But when it first happened, I thought, well, this is good. What in the world is going on? But everything that I needed was right there. And thankfully, it worked. And I'll play with that more when I have more time and see which way it goes, you know? But it occurred to me as we were worshiping, you know, the Lord, it just occurred to me that there is so much that we have that we don't know what it does. And there are things in life that stop us that don't need to stop us, but we just need to put the lever in the right place. We need to get back to, you know, the basics of the truth. Because that's what's going to make us representatives of the truth. We know that the early church that so much went on in didn't even have a Bible. They had the truth. They had the evidence that Jesus had presented. They had what Jesus had done. They had Jesus' promise to them, or his word to them, that, okay, as God sent me into the world, so now I'm sending you into the world. They had him teaching to a bunch of people, saying, okay, now don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. If I wasn't going to prepare a place for you, I wouldn't have said that I was going to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house are many rooms. It's going to be wonderful. Now based on that and the most basic of truths that they had in their hearts, those people, the Bible tells us they were willing to be sawed in half, tortured, whipped, burned, to not compromise that. Last night, Vicki and I watched a movie. Actually, we watched two of them. We watched the God's Not Dead, number two, and then we watched A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. And he was an atheist, determined to be an atheist. Nothing was going to keep him from being an atheist. And his wife met Jesus. And so he went about, and he decided that all he needed to do was prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And he was a journalist, so he was a fax guy. Back then there were fax guys. He was a fax guy, and so he went searching for the truth. And what he discovered was the truth. And the truth made him free. God's given us the simplest of promises that will carry us through everything. God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me can prosper because God is for me. He just is. Because he says that he is. Before we were formed in the womb, he knew us and he loved us. And nothing can separate us from that love. Isn't that something? He never stops loving us. Never. He doesn't ever, you know, we know that he did have a moment or two early on where he was sorry he ever made man. He did flood the earth, but it didn't stop him from loving. Love does a lot. But he is for us. And if we will remember that, if we can speak that to ourselves, that, wait a minute, God is for me. I may not see it, I may not feel it, but I know he's for me. He is for me. He is on my side. And he said, lo, I am with you always. So I'm not for you from a distance. I'm for you up close. I'm with you. I'm right there with you. And he's in me. He said, I've been with you, the Holy Spirit. We will be in you. So in me will witness that he's for me, will witness that he's with me, or one of the three are going to work together to get us free. Free to believe. That's the biggest thing that we have to do is be free to believe. We just have to figure out and stand on that until it happens. See, all I had to do when that bucket was up and locked this far above the ground was get a hold of the right thing and release what was holding back the movement. The enemy wants us to give up. Something blocks our understanding. Something gets in the way. When you're talking about Daniel and the angel said, you know, we came right away. As soon as you spoke, we came. But we've been fighting resistance all this time. Okay, now, for me, I look at that and I like the fact that they left right away to come. Some people prefer to focus on the resistance. There's going to be resistance. And if all you focus on is resistance, guess what? You focus on the resistance long enough and discouragement will set in. If you focus on, well, plan for resistance, it'll set in. We met a gal a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago, who has a prayer ministry, and she's from North Dakota. And she does go all over, and she talks about prayer. But she's caught up in this thing of okay, pray for us for protection. That's good. But it's almost from a fear standpoint. And it's expecting the resistance. And it's expecting the problems. And it's all the time looking for deliverance from a problem when the problem isn't even there yet. And so I try to drop little encouragement bombs of flip the lever, you know. But you see, as long as that is her heart, well, then that's where she's going to be. And because that's where she is with things, what she hears from God is, okay, pray for people to get rid of this for you. And I believe that that's true because God speaks to us where we are. But I think more than anything that in the midst of that, God is saying, Lo, I'm with you always. and I've got this covered. And when something comes up, just take care of it. I remember I've shared years ago about a time years ago when we got to Russia with a team, and there was an intercessor on that team. And I was out checking out the microphones and checking out the piano, and I'm out on the stage, and from off in the back place somewhere, I'm going, whoa! 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 I'm going, what in the world is this all about? And then we always had team meetings afterwards, and after that, at the team meeting, this girl was just mad. Well, she was not a girl. She was older than me, I think. And she said, none of the rest of you are praying. I'm carrying this whole thing myself. I said, what are you talking about? Well, I was laboring for this service, just laboring for it. And none of the rest of you were laboring for it. And I, as kindly as I could, I said, okay, listen. By the grace of God, I am, I guess, the appointed leader of this team. And you can't belittle the other members on the team because they aren't giving birth to your same baby. But she was convinced that anybody that wasn't booing, you know. I told her, I said, look, when I got to Russia, it was heavy. It was dark. It was a burden. And when I got to the motel, I sat down on my knees by the bed and I said, Lord, you got to take care of this, because this is something I don't know that I can minister under. And I got up from the bed and I agreed that it must be taken care of. And I was okay. Now, I'm sure maybe she was sensing those things, but she was thinking that everybody, you know, everybody doesn't have the same baby. Every mother has their own babies. I appreciated the fact that she was praying. But she was so caught up in the labor that she never enjoyed the delivery. And never enjoyed what was birth. And I think that that happens many times. The Bible just simply says this is the way that it is. If it says this is the way that it is, then we can take freedom and liberty and joy in what it says. There isn't any place in Daniel where Daniel argues with the angel and says, well, what took you so long? And how do I know that you left the minute that I prayed? How do I know? Daniel didn't do that. Zechariah should have studied the Old Testament a little bit so that when the angel came and said that he was going to have a child, he wouldn't have said, so how can I be sure you're going to do this? Well, I am, and you're not going to talk till it happens. Because his words weren't going to interrupt what God was doing. See, we have to be cautious that we don't let our words interrupt what God is doing. Right? That we don't interfere, that we just agree. So if God says, I am for you, and if I am for you, no weapon formed against you can prosper. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my strong right arm. That's his promise. So if we get that word, if we get that in our heart and we get that in our head, but then what we speak is, but I'm not feeling it. But how can I be sure? The thing that oftentimes Christians reason themselves right out of faith. They let people talk them right out of faith. It just happens. But we're working on it, right? Greater is he that is in us. I'm in you. Remember who's in you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So then we've been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So if I don't feel like I'm more than a conqueror, does that change what I am? No. Paul said, I am what I am because of him. God said, tell them, I am sent you. What do you mean, you am? Just tell them that. Just tell them that. Do you know, the power of the Word of God sometimes catches people off guard. And they feel something. They sense something. They don't know what they're sensing. But it's the Word. It's the living Word that has an effect on their circumstance. Last week, somebody came up to me and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, what do you need? Well, do you have a minute? I said, I got all day if you want all day. I need to talk to you. Okay? Now, this person does not believe. They don't disbelieve. They don't not believe, as in, I'm not about to believe. They just don't have any, I guess, reason, they think, to believe. But she said, I just like to talk to you because you make me feel better. I said, that's not me that makes you feel better. It's Jesus. Yeah, well, okay. But that's what it is, you see. There's people all over this world that are just needing the presence of God. Just needing a word. Just needing an encouragement. Just needing a presence of God. You carry in you the presence of God. And His presence is capable whether we think we're capable or not. But for us to be convicted, I guess, just to be sure of, just to take on the responsibility that we have as ambassadors for Christ. I'm not perfect. He is. I want to represent Him. However He chooses to make it happen. Because you see, that's what, when somebody comes up to me and wants to talk to me like that, I'm representing Him. I know that. I sense that right away. This is a God moment. God's going to do something. All I got to do is do whatever He wants me to do. At Springfield on Thursday night, we had a wonderful time. And a guy came up to me and I don't know, he told me, I like it when you come because you bring a message. Some people bring sermons, you bring a message. I like that idea better. I never thought about sermons. But the only thing that could make a difference is Jesus. That His Word can dwell richly to us and through us. And we have these gifts in us, in these vessels, these earthen vessels, they're just in us. And more and more and more, the opportunities for them just to come out of us are presenting themselves. And so it's important that we have confidence in who is in us, and in who is for us, and in who is with us, that we have that confidence that no matter what, no matter what I'm feeling, I'm thinking, no matter what I'm doing, I know God is for me, that He is with me. I know He's in me. Something might come up that flips out the little things that keep me from operating just the way that I should, but I need to be able to flip that switch. I need to recover. I need to be determined to recover. Now, I don't want to run around being afraid that I'm going to have to be recovering all the time. I want to run around with the confidence that it's going to all work smoothly. But I also want to be very aware of the fact that I may have to recover, and when that comes, I will recover. In other words, I'm not afraid of what's going to go wrong. I'm sure that He in me can fix it. Because you see, if we're so concerned that we can't do something right, then we'll be more worried about going ahead and doing it, and we won't do it. It'll keep us from it. It'll keep us from it. Well, you know, I don't know all the Word of God. Neither do I. A guy from the prison came up to me one time, and he was talking about something, and I knew the scripture, and I said the scripture, and he said, "Now that's in John, isn't it?" I said, "It is written." Some things I know where they are. Some things I do, but I'm not going to impress anybody with all my chapters and verses. I know it's in there. I can narrow it down to the New Testament and the Old Testament sometimes. But sometimes the New Testament quotes the Old Testament. And some people know both. And that's great. That's just great. But I'm not going to impress anybody with that. I'm not going to impress anybody anyway, because the words that we have that are life and peace are from Him who's for us, who is with us, who is in us. If we can keep that, if we can just be aware of that, made aware of that, make ourselves aware of that. God is for me, God is with me, God is in me. You know, just to have that confidence and that assurance, because there's a lot of people who don't get that. Well, I don't know God like that. If somebody says they don't know God like that, how easy is it to know God like that? It's easy. If you can believe, all things are possible. But a lot of people don't know that if you can believe, all things are possible. And even we who know forget, right? We forget. We may know that we know that we know that God is for us, but we may not represent it that way sometimes. You know? So press on toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God that is in Christ Jesus. We may be certain, hey, I'm born again, I know that He is in me, but some reason He isn't getting out of me right now. I need to fix that. Fear may catch me unaware, but God's with me. I know what fear is. And I know what fear can do to us if we let fear have its way. And I don't like fear. You don't like fear either. Nobody likes fear. But sometimes you would think that some people do, because they dwell on the fear. Some people don't take the promise that God has for them, because you see, again, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So God loves us and He won't ever quit loving us. But yet some people will be afraid that they won't be able to do it right, and so they don't get involved in it. But He's still with them. He's still for them, wants to be in them. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was a living Word of God. So in the same way that Jesus stands at the door and knocks, His Word stands at the door of our heart and knocks. His Word is there to remind us. Just like the angel that came to Daniel, I've come to tell you that I started coming before, just as soon as you spoke the Word. I've been here. I want you to be encouraged by that. I want you to know that when you pray, you are a favored one. I want you to know. I just want you to know that when you pray, heaven moves. And I say, hallelujah, when I pray, heaven moves too. And it doesn't move based on how good a prayer I am, because I'm not convinced that I'm a very good prayer. And then sometimes I think I'm a real good prayer. because sometimes it works better than I work. But if he told Daniel that, and he's no respecter of persons, then the minute that I pray, heaven responds. So isn't it good to know that heaven responded? That it, you know, that it happened. You know, I call Vicki and you know, I just kind of know if it rings about three times that she's not near her phone. Or maybe now there's that other alternative that she can't get her phone to answer. You know, they got their own little idiosyncrasies. They just sometimes they just do their own thing. Or sometimes what's happening is we're on a learning curve to make sure that it works all the time. I don't know. But when I call, I want her to answer. If she doesn't answer the first phone, I try another phone. If she doesn't answer that, I try the other one. If she doesn't answer that, I text her. I see something. I'm determined to get through, and I like it better after she answers. Don't you like it better after somebody answers? Well, I know God answers. We know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know we have what we've asked of Him. And that's where we should end our belief, not let it go on, but there was this time. Or, but I prayed and nothing happened. Because sometimes when you're encouraging someone else, they have such a discouraging appraisal of what you're trying to encourage them with, that if you begin to lean their way and say, well, you know, I don't know why God doesn't answer you, He always answers me, that isn't going to help anything. He heard you. I know He heard you. I got to stop there because I don't want to get caught up in, oh yeah, that is tough. I guess I've never run into that before. Yep. That's a tough one. Well, I'll get back to you on that. They don't need you to get back to them on that. They need you to stand on the promises of God our Savior. They need you to stand. The Bible tells us to stand believing. Not stand pretending. I think we have to be cautious about that too. Because sometimes that's what we do. We stand pretending. God's not interested in a good front. You don't need to be trying to impress anybody, and especially God, with standing with a good front. May as well be honest about it, like the man who said, if you can do anything, do something. And Jesus said, if you can just believe, I can do something. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, I'm not so sure, so help me get past that glitch. Help me, Lord, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to help us. He wants to carry us through. Why does He want to do that? So that it can carry through us to others. Because we want, you see, with Christ in us, we've got a heart to help. We've got a heart to minister. We've got a heart to see people overcome rather than being overcome. That's our heart. Our heart is to help. When we were watching the movies last night, the thing that I find is that when there's a witness of the presence of God on something, I cry. It just touches my heart. Now, it's just a movie. But it's a real representation of God. And the presence of God is an emotional, wonderful thing. And so that's why, you know, you might be talking to a stranger and all of a sudden you see their eyes glisten. Because the presence of God has come near. Or when somebody understands, your heart will well up because you know that it came through. This God thing is an amazing, amazing, amazing life. His promises are yes and amen. And He has promised that He's for us. He's promised that He's with us. He's promised that he will be in us. And we have the power to receive or to reject. We have the power to say okay or no way. When we talked last week about the young man who came to Jesus, and Jesus, he was all, something drew that young man to Jesus. And he had everything, but he still wanted the kingdom of heaven. So he recognized that everything that he had wasn't satisfying him. And he came to Jesus. And for the first half of the assignment, he was feeling good. I've done all those things. And Jesus said, okay, now, give up your things and come and follow me. And that young man turned away. He said, no way. Now, my hope, your hope, we don't know anything about it, but my hope would be that somewhere further down the road, he changed his mind. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he was there when Jesus was hanging on the cross and it suddenly hit him that he couldn't live without that. That's all it would take. And then when we talk about Abraham, Abraham said okay to the most horrendous assignment anybody could ever have. I want you to take your son, your only son. I want you to take him and sacrifice. He's okay. How could he just say okay? Because he had practiced the presence of God. He had paid attention to everything that God was doing in his life, and he knew that if God did all those things, then God could do this thing too. It didn't say he went leaping and going, oh, hallelujah, we got a big one coming on here. It just said that he knew that God would supply. And God supplied, not when he had the knife in his side, not when he had his arm in the air, but when he began. And God said, Abraham, stay your hand. Don't you hurt the boy. Now I know there's nothing you withhold from me. We can say okay or we can say no way. I say okay to God's with me, for me, and in me. Not only do I say okay, I say more, Lord. More. I want to be available. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. I want to be a representative of him wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And I know that's what's in your heart too, because Christ in you puts that in. So we just need to be determined to figure out where the blockage is when the blockage comes. And if we can't figure out what it is, we just need to release it to the Lord. And stick with the fact, God, I know you're for me. I know you're with me. I know you're in me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful. Because we know this. We experience you. We feel you. Sometimes we don't feel you as much as we feel you otherwise, but that doesn't change how you are. But there's one way to just really complete the whole thing, and that is when we begin to allow you to flow through us. We feel the flow. So bless us, Lord, with an awareness, with a determination, with a confidence, and give us eyes that see, not just eyes that look. Ears that hear and listen, not just hear sounds. And hearts, Lord. Hearts that are totally, completely dedicated to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless our fellowship and our food, our time together.